How many of you have noticed these beautiful flowers sitting up here? They're so lovely. Paul and his mother sent those over to us. I think that's so wonderful. So thoughtful that they would consider us on Father's Day to send us such a beautiful bunch of flowers. And of course, the preparation of a person's heart is from God. They could never have done that had not God prepared their heart. But out of the love of God, in that God is love, they did that. But it has more significance, far more significance than just a bouquet of flowers. You that are spiritual understand why that God prepared their heart to send them and why they should be here today. Because it has a great spiritual significance. So, it is so wonderful. They wrote and said, Brother Pike, we love you, and now you have another daughter and son. So, I think that's wonderful to come right in and submit themselves unto us as their pastor and be willing to follow and listen to the Word of God. That is certainly contrary, I think all of you would admit, that is certainly contrary to those that come and stay for months and months and months and say, well, the reason that I'm upset, you know, and I can't listen is because, you know, well, it's just because. And they didn't even have a because. They just come on anyway and got in. That you say, well, what does that mean, Brother Pike? That means that that will be a testimony against you in the day of judgment because you used all your excuses and took so long to get in. You understand what I'm saying? So it's really nothing to keep you out. The only thing is, you just don't want to get in. It's that old flesh crying to satisfy its ways. I want to read something this morning that I didn't choose nor pick out, but I had spoke of what today had to do with, and of course, if it's the same Spirit that tells me to tell someone, then it would be the same Spirit that would show me what I must read and give it to me. Without searching, without looking, without saying it's chapter such and such, just open the Bible to it. It would be the same Spirit because it's the same Spirit in the church, it's in my heart. So, I want to read just a little bit, if you will listen. I'll read quite a bit here. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. The same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, wherefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. The voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming into which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bare and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this thing in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deeds of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was lain. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11. And to all the rest, it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen cloths by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk in or said? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And had not known these things which are come to pass there in these days. And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. And them that were with him saying, The Lord is risen indeed. And hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now, I want to talk with you just a little bit. I don't know just exactly what I'll say, but I'll say something. The Lord will let me. I read a lot of scripture this morning, but the thought was to get over the story. You know, Jesus was not just persecuted because he was preaching. If you notice here that Pilate, Herod, and all the others were stirred by his preaching. Now the question is, why is it today that the government is not stirred by the preaching of the preachers? It is because the preachers are not preaching the Word of God. That's what the problem is. If they were preaching the word of God, the police would be stirred up because they were stirred up in that day. They throwed them into jail. If they were preaching the word of God, the federal men would be stirred up. The government would be stirred up because they were stirred up in that day. They did not just preach a repentance, but they preached that God was doing away with the government, bringing in a new government, and was fixing to set up a new order, and that there was another king somewhere that was coming. This, of course, got into politics and into the government, and it got into all of those other things that the preachers of today don't dare to mess with. That's why that they crucified Jesus. That's why that they put many of the apostles to death, is because these apostles was not just telling people something to entertain them, or telling them that we need to get together and build a church, and everybody needs to send their tithe over here so that we can be one big happy family. But they were preaching against evil, against sin, against unrighteousness, and all of the things that the preachers of today refuse to preach against. There was a difference because those men were preaching against sin. So often people say that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. They use that for a hobby horse. They want to make people believe, you know, that they believe in love. And they use that for a hobby horse. That way they don't have to reprove the people. They take the scriptures. The devil takes the scriptures and he perverts the scriptures to be able to get strength in the church. If he can get it in the minds of the people that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, then he can teach the people that God so loved the world that we ought to be a bunch of bastard children and go out into a frolic. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you. In other words, if the devil can take the scriptures, make a bunch of silly women out of us, a bunch of playboys out of us, a bunch of make-believers out of us, then he can cause us to sit on the pews, and every time God speaks or sends a true preacher, we get our feathers all bristled up because we say, bless God, we know the Bible says. Come on, folks, you can say amen. We know what the Bible said, and we know that preacher ain't in the Spirit. We know that that's not God talking. But consequently, when Jesus popped the whip and flipped over the tables and said, you generation of vipers, how many of you know that was God talking? Somebody said, well, I never knew that God talked like that, Brother Pike, but He does. You love the Lord? So then God's got several ways of saying things. God is love. My brother, God is love, and God so loved the world, as I've said so many times. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But whosoever believeth in Him, and who is Him? The Word. And what does the Word say? Let everyone that names the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. But whosoever believeth in the Word, the Son of God, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not in some fairy tale or something about some little story that the preacher will get up and tell and say Jesus hung at Calvary and Jesus died and everyone that believes that's on his way to heaven. You can believe that 10 times 10 and be on your way to hell all the time. That don't have nothing to do with it. Jesus was the Word. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in the Word. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I believe every word of it I hear. Then he added a little something else in the Word. He said, your believing is made known by what you do.
The child is known by his doings. And he said, the faith that you have in him, the word, is to be made manifest by the deeds that you do every day. Show me you're believing in the word by doing what the word said. Women, obey your husbands. Come on, folks. Let's wake up now. It's time to wake up. You slept all night. All right, now. So then, what is believing in him? It's believing in the word. See, believing in the word. As he walked on the way to Emmaus, look at him. There he walked on the way to Emmaus, about 60 furlongs. There he walked on the way to Emmaus. And he told him about the love of God. And the Bible said that he rebuked them. Come on now, listen. This is love talking. Love said, you fools. Somebody say amen. Was that love talking? You didn't know love could talk like that, did you? So then he said, ye fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said unto you. In other words, he said, why don't you believe in me? You've testified to people that you believe in me. You walk with me. But why don't you believe in me? Why don't you believe in me, folks? Jesus said, why don't you believe in me? You understand what I'm saying? Why don't you believe in me? It said that he opened the scriptures to them. You ever heard the Holy Ghost open the scriptures? He opened the scriptures to them. You ever had your heart to burn like fire on the inside as Christ, the Holy Ghost, opened the scriptures to you as he walked with you? I have. I've had mine to burn like fire. That's right. Did not our hearts burn within us? They were human beings just like I am. And when Christ walked with them, he was resurrected from the dead, just like we sang the song, as you walk with Elijah, Lord, walk with me. And the Bible said they endured as seeing him who was invisible. They had a perseverance from God. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, we must believe. The Bible said, marvel not. Don't marvel over the things of Satan. He's able to transform his mind. His ministers are able to transform themselves into preachers of the word. And is able to stand here and preach to you that God is love and get you perverted and make you think that everything's all right. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people think that when a false prophet comes through, that they'll know that false prophet. They'll say, Brother Pike, I'll know that false prophet. I can tell. No, you can't. There ain't no way you can tell. The Bible said it would be so closed that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. The only way is that you must be an elect. That's the only way. Did you know that even some of the elect will go off from the church thinking that the man that got up there was the right kind of preacher? That didn't sit right, did it? Somebody done said in their heart, you know, if I'm an elect, well, I know I'm an elect, and that takes care of it. That's what I meant, Brother Pike. I'll know. No, some of the elect will go away thinking it was God. But God somewhere, somehow, will open their understanding by some means and show up the false prophet. Though he might be many days, yet God will show him up somewhere that elect don't be lost. Are you following me? So then, the minister will get up and preach the word. But it is the motive that he has behind what he's doing. It is the motive that he has. See, his motive may be to get you sympathetic, to get an offering. Seen it done a lot of times. So I could get up here and I could preach you a story about Elijah, the great man of God. And I could dramatize it and drive it home and shout and dance have the biggest kind of time, and you'd say, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. And I'd say, and this great man of God, he got in need. And God sent him to a little widow. And that day there was many widows. You follow me? Sent him to a little widow for that widow to feed him. Many widows in the days of Eliseus, but to one was he sent. Many lepers in the days of Naaman, but to one was Eliseus sent. So then, when I got down to the part about the little widow, she didn't have nothing but one son. She didn't have a living. All she had was one cake. But she willingly chanced the starvation of her son and of her own self that she might give that one little piece of bread to the prophet. Now, see, at that point, if I was preaching like that, I could say, see what that poor little widow done. She gave all her living. Now, you know that you're not going to let that poor little widow do more than you are doing. Come on, folks, let's take an offering. Don't that work convenient? You love the Lord? Satan quoted the word of God. He said, Jesus said, cast yourself down from here. Are you following me? Because I'm in the fivefold ministry too. Hear me quote the word? Come on, folks. Just let's bring it home. Paul said, bear with me a little in my folly. I'd love to get something over to you. So he quoted the word. Jesus never said a thing against it. And if you're wise, you won't either. But when he got through, he said, Satan, it is line upon line and precept upon precept. That is to say, hallelujah, God has given his angels charge concerning me. And they're going to watch after me. But the other part of it says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not going to be a fool and tempt God because God has given me a protection. My mother says, I'm not worried about my little children. God will take care of them. So she goes on gossiping. She goes on saying things, doing evil things. She continues on doing the things that she wants to do. Hallelujah. And the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. There ain't no way. Not when you preach the same gospel. There's two ways to go. One of them's to the altar. So then, there's a number of ways to preach the gospel. One way, you can fill up a church and get a good offering. Have the mayor out and have all of the people of society come out and run the church over and have a good time and have a frolic. The other way is to preach the gospel and drive the demons and the devils out of the church and purge out the old leaven and be a new lump and be received of God, to come out from among the world to be a separate people and be received of God. He preached the gospel. There was times when he popped the whip and he turned over the money table and he drove the money changers out. There was times when he didn't preach like that. There was times when he said, generation of vipers. But there was times he didn't preach like that. You know, people think a preacher ought to preach one theme all the time, and that is God is love, and tell them everything there is to be known, and let that be it. That's like children coming up in the home. They feel like they ought to be able to do everything that they want to do, when they want to do it, and have their way, and that daddy and mama ought to not say nothing about it. Whereas children shorten their days by their disobedience, by not listening to daddy and mama. Soon, smoking pot, going off in different places with the wrong people, they've got some kind of bad disease, or they're in a car wreck, or they broke up, or some bad thing has happened to them because they wouldn't listen. Mom and daddy's an old fogey. We don't have time to listen. But when they're in the hospital, half dying, they wish they'd listen. When they get in prison, and the Bible said that if you don't agree with your adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, God will put you there. When you get in prison because you willfully, continually violate the authorities of God and the thing that the judge keeps screaming out from the sacred desk, when you get a prison sentence, then behind the bars you begin to weep and pine, but God can't get you out. Some of you might try a little good behavior and get parole. But the Bible teaches that we have got to obey the right thing, folks. You follow me? We shorten our days by disobedience, by not listening to the Word of God. We shorten our days because we don't follow the commandments of mother and daddy. God has placed the church here as a mother to you. And the voice of your heavenly Father from the ministry to speak to you. When he said it's not you but the heavenly Father speaking. That he might instruct you. And whatever that heavenly Father tells you from that minister, that church mother's supposed to obey it. If the church mother gets contrary and resents and finds fault and tears down the heavenly Father in the eyes of the children, what you expect to have but a bunch of devils? If mother throws in with them, she's a prostitute too. Come on, folks. But what she's got to do is honor what God says. Somebody said, my, that's convenient. You mean the preacher's God? Jesus said, you're God's. It's all right. Moses, I made you God to the people. It's the body of Christ. Somebody said, but I think, Brother Pike, but you don't have any business thinking. Nobody gave you the right to think. Somebody said, but I can think what I want to. Jesus said, don't lean to your own understanding. That's the wrong thinking to start with. That thinking come from the garden, on the fall, and it ain't nothing but trouble to start with. That's why I said anybody that lives in it has nothing but trouble. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, not thinking. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I can't do no thinking? The thing for you to do is come with the Word and let us reason together. Whatever the Word says, that's what your thoughts ought to be. Somebody said, you mean to tell me that I can't just sit down and do my own thinking? You cannot, unless you want to go to hell. You sit down and do your own thinking and you will go to hell. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. You'll still go to hell anyway. Somebody said, I'll drink poison. I don't believe I'm going to die, but they die anyway. The Bible teaches that our thoughts are not His thoughts. And that we're to think His thoughts. And said, let this mind be in you that was in Him. We are trying to eradicate that mind from the fall of the garden. It caused the trouble, that jealousy, unbelief, all those evil things. God has turned him over to a reprobate mind. That mind is the mind in the garden. That's the beast mind. That's the carnal mind. That's the mind of death. The day that thou eatest out, thou shalt surely die. You understand what I'm saying, folks? But there is a tree of life. That is this mind that speaks to you from the minister. It is not him speaking, but God. Paul said, we're helpers of your faith. And faith cometh by the hearing of the voice of God. And the voice of God is trying to say, he that heareth my words and believeth on him, the Spirit, he's passed from death unto life. He shall never come into condemnation. So then, we've got to believe. We've got to have the Word. Jesus resurrected from the dead. He talked to them on the way to Emmaus. They said, our hearts burn within us as he opened up the Scriptures. But as I said before, not only does the Lord quote Scripture, but Satan quotes Scriptures. There are ministers of Satan. That's the voice of the devil. There is doctrines of God. And then the Bible said there is doctrines of devils. There's men that's got doctrines that are preachers that go across the land. And they've got a doctrine. And it's so close to the true doctrine until you'd never know it. It's a doctrine of the devil. What is a doctrine of the devil? Anything that does not found itself solid upon the Word. Anything that will take the Word out of its setting and have the wrong motive behind it. That's a doctrine of the devil. When Satan quoted the Word, just exactly like it was. But when he quoted it, his motive was to try to kill and destroy and do away with what God was doing. Kill the Prince of Peace. But he quoted the Word. So then they say God so loved the world. God didn't send his Son into the world. Now look how easy it is that they might pervert the Word. The story of the little widow. Look how they could pervert it. Use it for their own benefit. Look how Satan quoted it to Jesus to try to use it for his own benefit to kill the move of God instead of establishing. Are you listening? Some of you fellas that think you're such great Bible scholars, you better wake up. I'm telling you, you're the best bait that the devil's got. Come on, folks. I said some of you that can get up behind the pulpit and quote the Bible all the way from Genesis to Revelation, as you say, you're some of the best bait the devil ever had. I started that years ago, and God stopped me flat and said, you are to find out what my will is, what my understanding is, and to be able to open those scriptures to the minds of the people. Not quote them. They got the Bible they can read. And 99 out of every 100 that quotes the scripture will get it wrong anyway. Some of these that's running across the land are supposed to be top Bible scholars, is quoting verse after verse after verse. I'll guarantee you can take the Bible and go behind me and find it wrong. Somebody said, boy, they can just go right down the line and they get every bit of it. They don't get every bit of it. You just don't know nothing about it. They know that most of you don't know it anyway. So if they make a Bible, 99 out of 100 ain't going to catch them. Somebody said, but if you're a good Bible scholar, you will. You can be a good Bible scholar and still won't. The best Bible scholar in the country can read it in 3 days. He can't remember all of it. So then God isn't wanting that. That's not what he's wanting. I followed behind some of them to see. I found them wrong when they were so sure they're right. Prove to them it is wrong. Kind of hard to do. But he finally had to swallow down and admit it. God wants us to preach the Word with the right motive and with the love of God. What is the love of God? Not to take the people into a bondage, and not to lord over God's heritage, not to use them for a gimmick, but to tell them the profound truth of Christ, that they may escape the evils and snares of this world. And so they say, God so loved the world. And I've said again, God does so love the world. But you know how he loves the world. I've said many times, God so loved the world the way that he created it in the garden when it was holy and without blemish and without spot. He so loved the world. Not that he so loves the world, but he so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he could come down here and redeem the world from its evil state of debauchery and bring it back to its original state of the garden, which we call the millennium. He loved it. It was beautiful. He could walk in the evening time in the garden. He could commune with his creature. But in this day that we're living in, God tells us to love not the world. So then the devils and demons can get up here and quote scripture and say, God so loves the world, folks. Don't feel bad just because you get out there and want to enjoy the beaches, get in your swimming suits. Folks, don't feel bad just because you want to go to the dance. Why, God so loved the world. Doctrines of devils. But the doctrine of Christ said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's the doctrine of Christ. Somebody would say, you know, a demon and a devil and a doctrine of a devil. They'll quote it and they'll say, I don't like to go hear that preacher. Say, why? Say, my preacher don't preach like that. Well, how did your preacher preach? My preacher said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. but that through him the world might be saved. Are you listening? And they dramatize it too. You can do that, you know. Get a little quiver to your voice. Put on a little motion and movement. And I'll tell you what, it just swallows people up. So then, God didn't send his son. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, you can't fight that. That's the word of God. I know that's the word of God. I know that. I'm not fighting that. The true doctrine of Christ don't annul any of the word of God. It don't tear down any of the word of the Lord. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the Son of God, the world might be saved. Ain't that right? But the part that they don't quote is the Bible says that God sent Christ that he might condemn sin in the flesh. I'm not condemning the world, neither is God condemning the world. God gave his son at Calvary to save the world, so that all of the ends of the earth be saved. It's not my will that the banker should perish or anyone should perish. Let all come to repentance and have everlasting life. But are you going to get the banker out there? No. The Bible said the rich have their consolation. They're not going to be partakers, but the Bible said the poor heard him gladly. For God has chosen the poor. Why did God choose the poor? Not because he didn't want the rich to come, but he knew that the rich would not come. Many mighty will not come. Educated men will not come. They have the same opportunity, but they're too smart. Great men will come. They've got their positions. They've got their own frame of mind, their own way of doing things. I sat and talked to an old judge over in Athens. The tears come down his cheeks. There he was broken up. He said, I feel like Pilate. But why didn't he start coming to the house of God and go on with the Lord? The Bible said they was afraid to confess him because they put him out of the synagogue. They got positions. You understand what I'm saying? Like a man down here at Porterdale one time told the Jesus name preacher, said, I know you folks are right. Said, but man, I'm a man of position. I can't come out to that hole in his church. Why, don't you know Jordan's too muddy? What about the other rivers? But see, the virtue ain't in them. You understand what I'm saying? The dignitaries has got their own churches to go to. They run somebody through the seminary. They take out. They come over to the church. They spend the rest of their life having a funeral march. That's right. And preaching their funeral. And from the seminary, right out to the cemetery, and the job's done. Now, so then God sent his son that he might condemn sin in the flesh. Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. If I preach to you up here that you're all right, all you got to do is just go on your way, that you're saved by grace and saved by faith, and you don't have to worry about it, you just inherited it. Well, that's as good as the devil wants. How do you know that's true? Let's listen for a few minutes. The devil would just love for me to get up here and preach to you, you're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the scripture. Satan knows that he can quote it. Folks, don't you see it's not by works? There's nothing you can do. So just lay in the sun and ripen. After all, we're predestinated, somebody said. It don't make any difference if you get a little drink of whiskey. God knew before the foundation of the world that you was one of his predestinated. You're still going to heaven. So they take the predestinated trail. And they ride it on a hobby horse, you know. Predestinated. Don't have to worry, predestinated. Don't have to worry, predestinated. But I've said this before. Has it ever occurred to you that you might have been predestinated to hell? that God saw you. I believe in predestination, but I believe you can be predestinated to hell as well as heaven. The Bible said so, that these men were before of all ungodly men, foreordained unto condemnation. Brute beasts made to be taken and burned. There's two ways to preach predestination, folks. It all come out the same way. How's that? The right way. But you have to preach both sides of it. The devil takes one side of it. He makes a doctrine of the devil. Christ takes the other. He puts it all together as it ought to be. Gets out the infiltration and he makes it the word of God. Now, so then we say predestination. I just want to bring out a few things this morning. Just to show you the condition that things are in. Why the church is in the condition it's in. Why God is rejecting it. It's full of tares, full of briars, full of spots, full of blemishes. That's why I tell you a lot of times, you can't have a pastor out here and a pastor over yonder and a pastor over yonder. Anything that's got two heads is a freak. If you got two pastors, you're a freak. Because you're two-headed. The pastors ain't two-headed. You know, I've heard of Siamese twins. And this head over here wanted to do one thing, and this head wanted to do the same thing, and didn't have but one body. That's a bad fix to get in. You understand what I'm saying? You know what happens when you get like that? You don't do nothing. A two-headed freak, when they get two minds, they don't do nothing because this head won't let it go that way and this head won't let it go that way. So they just sit there. That's why Jesus said, let your eye be single, the eye of understanding. Not two understandings, just one understanding. He said, if your eye be single, you'll have the light of God, the Spirit. But if your eye is not single, then you're double-minded. You're full of darkness. So they say predestination is what we need. But I'll tell you, as I said before, he that committeth sin is of the devil. I don't care how much he believes he's predestinated. He can believe a lie and be damned. A lot of people have consoled themselves by saying, well, bless God, ain't nothing going to shake me loose from this. I'm going to believe it because I believe it. And nobody can't change me. That means I'm predestinated. That don't mean a thing toward predestination. It just means that you're foolish. Instead of listening to the truth and getting your mind straightened out, there is no faith but faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. That's the only faith there is. There is no salvation because you feel like that you feel like that you feel like. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect, which is by the hearing of the word? When you hear the word, you believe what the word said, then you do what the word said, like Noah building the ark, then you save your soul. And this little body on the outside is the ark you've got to build. You've got to build it according to what was shown you in the mountain, like God said to Moses. That tabernacle can't be any way, Moses. Every jot, every tittle of it, every little thing put on that tabernacle, Moses, has to be exactly the way that I say it is. Over there when they got the golden wedge, Joshua got to complaining and said, my, Lord, what have you done? What have you done? Lord, we told you don't let us go up, lest your presence go with us. Lord, this, whoa. God said, get up. God ain't changed his word. He said, thy iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. I ain't changed my mind. My arm's not short. It can't reach you. I don't pervert a man at his cause. He said, there's trouble in the camp. Get the devil out. Purge out the leaven. And let's be a new lump, folks. Somebody comes up to you and they start indoctrinating you. Say, whoa. See, you'll get confused if you don't. Say, wait just a minute. I don't understand what you're saying. Besides that, I got a pastor anyway. Willis, I can't understand this thing. You're just confusing me. Let's go over and talk to the pastor. And I'll tell you what. You'll lose your company. If you think he's with God and for God and working with God, get him over to the pastor and see if you don't lose your company. That'll show you where he's at. The Bible said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. All right, now. So we say predestination.
Are you listening, folks? I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. All right, we're going to hit another trail. Now, what is that one? The seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent. Every devil, every lustful person, every demon, evil spirit, gets a hold of that on the seed of the serpent. And they have slopped up and messed up and crushed and twisted up until they have got people's minds in such a fuddled up mess till they don't know what they're doing. You follow me? The Bible says that we are to mortify the deeds of the body. Is that right? Everyone that belongs to Christ, he hath mortified the deeds of the body. The old man is dead because of sin. Christ nailed him to the cross. God killed him because of sin. He's dead because of sin. Is that right? Because of sin, God had to kill him. Are you listening? Everything is muddled up. Why? The Bible said they put their feet in the water and muddled it up. They are trying their best to prove that Cain was the natural father, or rather the beast was the natural father of Cain. Trying their best to prove that. They do everything they can. Everything. You know why that they want to establish the teachings of the doctrine that's going through the land like that? God let that trumpet give an uncertain sound that they might not prepare themselves to the battle. That way God could justify the preacher and condemn the following. Oh, somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You don't believe that? I certainly do. God justified Jesus Christ at Calvary and condemned every one of the others. Charged them with his blood. He justified Noah, a holy man, condemned the rest of the world and brought the flood in on top of him. He justified Lot, took him out of there and overthrowed Sodom and Gomorrah. Come on, folks. Now, you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean the devil would delight in establishing that doctrine. Because if he could establish that kind of doctrine, the blood of Jesus Christ would be of none effect. It would automatically kill Calvary. It would kill the doctrine of Christ. It would kill everything that God ever intended in the earth. Somebody said, but I don't believe that. But it don't make any difference if you don't believe that. It would still kill it. The Bible teaches it would kill it. I've said this before. And I say it to where the ladies can understand in all decency. So you ain't got to tuck your head and send them off to the restrooms or the fellowship rooms somewhere. If you get your mind out of the garbage can, you wouldn't be worried about that anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hit a sore spot. Now, it is a true fact, as I said to the brethren the other day, that if a man has a field, and if he purchases a field, and if he takes his grain and his seed to sow in that field, that there is nothing that's coming up out of the field except the grain or the seed that was sown in the field. You understand what I'm saying? If the message that I preached on the bloodstream and all men are of one blood, and that the life is in the blood, and the daddy is the tree of life, then that means that mother nature shows the mother which is the field. It's like the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution is a bunch of garbage. God didn't evolve from no monkey nor tadpole. Darwin had a brainstorm. God never gave him that. It is a true fact that there is an evolving. It is a true fact that there is an evolution. The word that we use, evolution, for many things, because there is evolving in the world. And it is a true fact that things do evolve. That is true. But things evolve from the seed that's planted. It is a evolving from the seed, for each seed reproduces after its own kind. It comes up in a different size, in a different measure. But it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's right. Which is really a growth, not an evolving. But when you say that God took a tadpole and let him evolve into a frog, you can go that route. Because the seed that was planted was a seed to bring forth a tadpole and then bring forth a frog. That's all right. That evolving's all right. Is that right? That kind of shook somebody up a little bit because they were so sure I was ignorant. Because I was misusing my words. But anyway, that is the right kind of evolving. But when you evolve a frog and turn him into a chimpanzee, you done got him the wrong evolving. God don't evolve that way. The Bible said the scriptures can't be broken. Darwin wasn't smart. That was a foolish thing for him to do. And to show you that God has turned the world over to a reprobate mind, just about everybody out there believes him. All believe a lie and be damned. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the Bible said the whore is the ditch, and she's coming on the sea, setting upon many waters. They that are abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Now, I'm going to close. Just give me a little more time here to clear this up. Now, you say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to get over? I have to tie this in with that thought on the serpent just for a few minutes. What are you trying to express? I'm trying to say this, that if evolving according to Darwin's theory is right, then that means that the scriptures is broken. If the scriptures is broken, we're all a bunch of fools. We ought to throw the Bible into the fire and forget about the thing. Eat, drink, and be merry, as the world said. You're going to die anyway. But if the scriptures is right, and brother, they were here a long time before Darwin ever got here. How do you know that? If it hadn't been for the word of God, there never would have been a Darwin. And only a man is fool enough to get up and speak against the thing that created him. Paul said, how can that which is created, you know, that the creature or the creation say to that which is created him, why hast thou made me thus, and tell him what to do? Only fools do that. So then, in the theory of evolution, then what is the theory? Is that man evolved from a monkey? Is that right? That theory is wrong. Because it, like the teachings of that serpent seed, it makes the word of God of none effect. When God sends the Spirit and God sends the word, it establishes what God has said in the past. It don't tear it down. God's Spirit doesn't confuse. God's Spirit doesn't cross the word. God's Spirit establishes the word. He that God sendeth, which is the man with the Spirit, will speak God's word, because the Spirit within him will speak the word of God. So then the theory of evolution, the evolving, would make the word of God of none effect. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that's cute. You say that, but you haven't told me in the word where it makes it of none effect. That's just your opinion. Give me a verse, somebody said. All right? The Bible said in the book of Genesis, when God created, he said, let every seed reproduce after its kind. Not a frog and a tadpole to a chimpanzee, and a chimpanzee to an ape, and an ape to a man. God didn't do that, but every seed reproduced after its kind. I made the statement not too long ago. You take an old donkey, a donkey's a burden bearer. It's a good thing. Over in the Holy Land, they really use them. On them little old mountains, a horse or nothing else couldn't go up and down them little old mountain trails. And you take a horse,
A horse is a gallant, proud thing. Throw his head back, ride on him. He's a good, you know, for traveling. But now, when it comes to perversion, then a mule is one of the worst things in the world. You can't teach him nothing, get him to do nothing. He's just, and there's no reproduction from that. No reproduction. God does not give Satan the power to create. God stops him if he goes to perverting his creatures and crossing things up. God will put a stop to it. It runs into nothing because God don't want that. I've said this before. God made a bulldog. God likes a bulldog. You take an eight, get right close to an eight. His face looks pugged. And to people, some of them, they'll say, my, he's an ugly looking creature. But to God, he's just as pretty and sweet as a stick of bubble gum. Yes, sirree. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said Solomon had apes. He got him some apes. Sure. Why not? It's God's creation. That little old pug-nosed bulldog, he's just as pretty as he can be to me. After all, who give me the right to say a long nose is prettier than a short nose? I mean, what can you base that on? Come on, folks. How can you base anything on your thinking and your mind and your scientific foolishness? Paul said, science falsely so-called. Your sciences of this world, they're supposed to be brilliant, and God said he made them a bunch of fools. That they'll wind up destroying themselves because they won't listen to God. Who are you to say that blue eyes is the prettiest, prettier than brown eyes? Somebody said, well, I can tell by looking when I see somebody prettier than somebody else. No. No, you can't. I can prove to you can't tell that. Because when you married your wife, some of you thought she was the prettiest thing in the world, and now you don't even take up any time with her. After staying around a little while, you're not even deciding whether she's pretty or not. As a matter of fact, you keep looking at the other man's wife. That shows you're mixed up and you're thinking. You thought she'd satisfy you to a T. But Solomon got them by the bushels and still wasn't satisfied. There is no satisfaction to mankind. When you look into the eyes of a person, you say, blue eyes, them the prettiest eyes in the world. That's just your opinion of it because you like blue eyes. The fellow over here is looking at brown eyes. He might think them the prettiest things he ever seen. You don't have nothing but a bunch of theory and make-believe. God made the blue eyes. God made the brown eyes. God made the pug nose and God made the sharp nose. God made the long giraffe with a long neck. And he made the little old chimpanzee to hang around by his tail. As far as the monkey is concerned, when he hangs by his tail, the world's upside down. You understand what I'm saying? So then there's only one absolute. That's not Brother Branham. That's not Brother Pye. That's not Brother John. That's Jesus. That's the Word. That's the only absolute. That is the absolute. If you build on Brother Branham, you're going to go to hell. If you build on Brother Pike, you're going to go to hell. If you build on Brother anybody, you're going to go to hell. It's Brother Jesus, the only foundation that God ever gave was him. He's the cornerstone. The apostolic teachings is the foundation of that city. Every stone is to be built upon it. All right. So then, and I know you're getting weary, but just hold on a few minutes. I ain't through yet. So then, the theory of evolution would make the Bible of none effect. Now, you can be foolish enough to believe Darwin, but I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm going to believe what the Word of God said, that the seed is made to reproduce after his own kind. And did you know, as a matter of fact, something just come to my mind. I picked up something here. It's been a long time ago, and some fella that had probed into the study of evolution said that he had positively proved by carbons that you could not cross the species. Said it wouldn't do it. Said there's no way. Are you listening? Now I'm getting to what I want to say. If that was a beast in the garden, Now, come on, folks. Now, listen to me. This for a few minutes. Brother Branham himself made this statement. When there was a discrimination against the black man, Brother Branham said, let me tell you something. If you was bleeding to death and needed a blood transfusion, they could call in the black man. Why? Because God has made all nations of one blood. But he said, you take the blood of a beast and try to put it in the veins and see if it don't kill you. Somebody said, but they would say, well, Brother Pike, it doesn't make any difference. The beast, see, they didn't have to mix the blood. They could say that was just the beast's blood. And Cain was the son of the devil. Well, I know he was the son of the devil. But he's speaking spiritually now. The devil's a spirit. So then they would say, Brother Pike, that was just the beast's blood. That's why it didn't kill Cain. He was a beast. If you did that, then you'd kill the teachings of the serpent seed altogether. Because, see, that's what you got to go around to prove the serpent seed message is right. You follow me? You got to go around that. If you prove that part of it, you automatically kill the rest. You got to disprove that part to make the other part work. So you can't take that outlook. Now, I want you to listen for just a minute. If it is established according to the teaching that they're trying to bring out, it will kill the effects of the blood of Jesus Christ, make it of none effect in the minds of the people. Now, you can't kill the blood of Jesus, but you can make it of none effect in the Word of God. The Bible says they changed the Word of God into a lie. They changed the truth into a lie. They perverted the truth by putting the wrong meaning behind it, the wrong motive behind it, and took the Word of God, the truth, and changed it into an ill motive, a lie. Made it say something that God wasn't saying at all. You follow me? And so then, it is a truth fact that if Mother Nature is the field, and if the seed that's sown in the field has one life, and that is the life of the seed, whether it be an apple tree, an orange tree, or whatever, in that we have many different people in the earth, the black, the white, the yellow, and so forth, Japanese and all kinds. If there is a seed placed in the earth, that seed has the life of the tree that it came from. If it's an apple nature, you need to look for pears on it. When it comes up, there ain't going to be no pear nature in it. It is an apple nature. It was an apple seed. It has an apple nature. You follow me? So then, I say this again, that there is no way, according to the scientific side of understanding that the world is founded on, there is no way that you can mix the mother's blood with the father's blood in a newcomer in the world. You can't do it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you condemn science. Now you're basing on science. I'm not basing on science at all. I'm just telling you, according to the knowledge of science, there's no mixture. You can't base it on that. But according to the Word of God, it won't come out that way. And I'm basing it on the Word of God. You can't make it come out on the Word of God. I'm taking my foundation of the Word. I'm just taking your scientific theories and what you've learned in the understanding out there. And breaking down human anatomy and just discovering what God's already placed there. But you can't even do it that way. Even science admits it won't do it. Now, so then, there is no mixture. There is no mixture. And I say again, because we've run into this again recently, and we're going to run into more. Through this camp meeting, we're really going to run into it, so you better listen to this thing. I've got some people right here in my group that still believes that I'm wrong about the thing. But they can't prove I'm wrong, so they won't come to me. If I'm wrong, why don't you come over and prove I'm wrong? If you can't prove I'm wrong and you still got a conviction, why don't you get with somebody that believes the way you believe?
Or else you're going to get caught in between and get so confused till you're going to lose your mind or something bad happened to you. You got to go one way or another. You either got to believe one way or another. How to go? So then, if you can't prove it, forget about it. What the Word of God tells is right. Now listen real close. I know I'm holding you a few minutes, but in this camp meeting, you're going to need it. You see what happened the other night when that brother come in here that was preaching. If I had not already talked to him down yonder, I'll tell you what. But when I talked to him down yonder about where Genesis speaks of the seed of the serpent, when I talked to him, he was so sure that he was right. People are publishing books and publications. But after talking to him, he knew right then and there there was something he couldn't fit together. And he never did. It shook him up so much he wouldn't even try. And before that, he was positively convinced in that he was bringing forth a publication on it. Whereas when they get away, they may still bring forth a publication. God's going to do what he wants to. The trumpet gives an uncertain sound. Who shall prepare himself to the battle? All right, now listen, folks, as I take my time for a few more minutes here, you can eat, when you do get to the table, it tastes even better. Jesus said, we got some meat you don't know nothing about anyway. It is a true fact that Cain either married his sister or he went off somewhere and he married an ape. The Bible said he went into the land of Nod and there he knew his wife. The Bible said Adam knew his wife. Cain and Abel was born. So if Adam, when he knew his wife, Cain and Abel was born, then when Cain knew his wife, that means his children was born. He didn't go over there and meet his wife because there wasn't no wife to meet. There wasn't no women to meet. Adam and Eve was the only living people in the earth. There wasn't nothing else but beast out there. I want you to listen there, folks. If the man went out there and married a beast, then again, if all of his lineage is a beast, all of his lineage is of the devil, that means that all of Adam's lineage is a son of God, and all of Adam's lineage is predestinated to go to heaven. I want you to think it over now. I want you to get this thing straight in your mind. If you can kill it, tear it down, the Bible said bring forth your strong reasons. God's ready to listen at them. Are you listening? If he married a beast, then why don't we forget about Cain and his lineage? We know ain't no beast going to heaven. There ain't no beast got eternal life. Beasts are not born again. Why not forget about Cain and his lineage? So then if we forget about Cain and his lineage, that means that the serpent seed teaching, according to what they got, certainly would be tore up then. Because we can't forget about it. I'm just bringing out the different perspective now, the avenues that you need to think on, some of these strong reasons that you got. If that's true, then that automatically makes the rest of it of none effect. Because there ain't no generation out there that's evil and cunning, according to Cain. Is that right? I don't leave nothing but Adam. Can you agree that all of Adam's is sons of God? So then if we say all of Adam's is sons of God, then that again kills the teachings according to the way they teach it. You follow me? In other words, it kills it. Not only does it kill it, but it makes the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect. For why should God let his son Jesus come down here into this world and die for sins that we did not commit? No fool would do that, let alone God with his great intelligence. Paul, in his great revelation, even made the statement, folks. He said, if there had been a law when he disputed with Peter,
And the others, he said, if there had been any kind of law that could have done away with sin, God had never let his son go through that suffering. What father would put his son through suffering like that? There was no law. It had to be blood. The trouble was the blood. I just wish we had about 12 hours. I really do. And go out and really preach this sermon to where you could understand. But if Cain was a beast, that's the end of it. Because beast blood can't mix. All right, we're going to take one more outlook here, and then we're going to prove the other. Somebody would say, but Brother Pine, where it all comes in is in the missing link. That the missing link was a beast, and the blood run out to its highest type. That's a hobby horse some folks ride. It ain't God, because it don't found itself on the Word. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. If we can't prove it, if we ain't got enough godly sense to prove it, then we're all in bad shape. He said, prove it. If he said, prove it, then we can prove it. Why can we prove it? Take it to the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word agrees. If it's God's Spirit, it'll go with the Word. If it ain't God's Spirit, it'll go against the Word. If the missing link is what it is, somebody said, that's the missing link. That's where it's all in. Well, if that's true, well, scientists have done solved that problem because they got all kind of men, Mongolian men and every other kind of man, and they prove, I've seen the pictures as they come right on up to the man. Wasn't no missing link in there. They had every bit of it in there, right on up to the man. So there wasn't no missing link to it as far as science is concerned. But let's just give it the benefit of the doubt. What if there is a missing link? Because if I leave it like the other, you jump the gun and say, uh-huh, he talked it away. So we're going to take both sides of it and let you look at it. And let you know that we're not trying to talk away nothing. You don't have to talk away nothing. When you got the truth, it'll stand all the way. So then, the missing link. Somebody said, well, it was that evolving from the tadpole to the man. You don't believe that after what I said a while ago. No sane person could believe that after what I told them about the scriptures saying reproducing after its kind. But nevertheless, if you want to take it from there, and that's the only way you can take the missing link. So you got to believe in Darwin if you take the missing link. So then we take the missing link, you say. Then we have to believe in Darwin. So to give you the benefit of the doubt, we're going to just bring it out. All right, now, there is the missing link. That missing link God said was a beast. And the nearest thing to mankind. Is that right? So the evolving of the blood, as they would say, a little higher, a little higher, a little higher till it got to the beast. And then after it got to the beast, then it was near enough to a man's blood to become a man's blood. And so then if you take it, the missing link blood will intermingle with the man's blood. Somebody said, that's it right there. That's it right there. Well, I don't believe in the theory of evolution to begin with. But nevertheless, to run it on out, we'll just see if that's it. If that is true, it means that the blood is still a beast blood because God called him a beast. It means it's still one step from a human blood. And if he is the father of Cain, it means Cain is still a beast. And if a mother's blood can't mix with the child, even if it would mix together, scientists say that it can't mix with the mother. They prove it can't. Now, if it can't mix, then Cain is still a beast. So then the missing link goes down the drain too. Somebody would say, where is the missing link? Now, I know Brother Branham used some of these things, and I understand clearly what he said, because I'm acquainted with God, and he was too. But I'm talking about what you've theorized and come up with. Today marks a special day. That's why I'm taking my time. You can go home if you want to, but this is a special day for God today. That's why I'm taking my time. There's going to be a change. Today is the day. Now, I've been pretty quiet before this, but there's a time for all things. Now, somebody said, where is that beast? They said, well, Brother Pike, God turned him into a serpent. He's out there crawling around on his belly. You don't believe that. Oh, somebody said, well, sure, I believe that. Now listen, folks. Let's just look at the Word of God, not theorize anything. When we got facts, there's no need to live on theories. I say this. If that beast is on his belly and he's crawling around out there, what kind of snake is he? Is he a rattlesnake? Or is he a black runner? Or is he a corch whip? Or is he a python? Or is he a cobra? Oh, somebody said, well, it's just a snake family. But I just said they reproduce after their kind. There's got to be one of them now. Is he the king snake? You know, king snake's harmless. So something's wrong there. But somebody would explain that away, so we'll go a little further. If that is the devil crawling around on his belly, if that is the beast, then why in the world does God let that cockatrice and those things go on over to the millennium? When it said a child shall sit down on the hole of the cockatrice. You're not bothering. What does God want to put the devil in the millennium for? Or the beast in the millennium? When he said he'd bind him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Why could he want to do that? See, that'd be a little confusing. But let's look at it a little more extensive. If that's the missing link. Now, if that snake is that beast crawling around on his belly, we ain't got nothing to worry about no more. But nevertheless, let's just say, for the benefit of the doubt, there he crawls. Don't know what kind he is, but we know he's a snake. Not mocking anything, because I clearly understand what I'm saying. Not coming against anybody, I clearly understood what Brother Branham was saying. So you can quit theorizing. If that snake, if I can see with my eyes that beast crawling around on his belly as a snake through the grass, then I wish somebody would help me to see where the tree of knowledge is and the tree of life is. And I'd like for them to tell me what kind of seeds you have to purchase to plant a tree of life. And a tree of knowledge. How many of you left to plant a tree of life and have some growing out in your front yard? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you're silly. I must not be as silly as some of the others. The attitude they're taking, if that beast can crawl around on his belly, why come you can't plant a tree of life out there and pull the whatever it is on to pull off? You know why? You don't believe that? Because you never seen a tree of knowledge. Oh, somebody said, but I know because I got revelation. No, you don't. You're just vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. Because if you had revelation, you wouldn't even have that kind of attitude. So that couldn't be it. Now, so then, you can't plant a tree of life. You can't plant a tree of knowledge. Because life you can't see. Knowledge you can't see. It's something that's invisible. And it's the same way with the beast. That was a spiritual thing. That was a spiritual thing. Somebody said, oh, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. I sure do. Somebody said, well, then the Son of God was a spiritual thing. If you make that beast, I know you're smart mind. If you make that beast a spiritual thing, then that means that Adam, the Son of God, was a spiritual thing. It was a spiritual thing. When Adam fell from that garden, he was no more the Son of God than nobody else. He was the head of that serpent. That Son of God was a spiritual thing. It come down from the Shekinah glory of God. And there never was a Son of God that ever came forth until Jesus came forth first, which was a spiritual birth of the Heavenly Father, which was Christ, the second man, Adam, the replacement. God placed him in there, and that spiritual image was given by the Shekinah. And when he turned away from the mind of God and he turned over there to that tree of knowledge, he took from that tree of knowledge that perverted nature of the beast and he took on the image of the beast. And that's why the Bible said we don't know what God looks like. If God made Adam in his image and Adam did not lose his image, then we know what God looks like because all of his descendants look like him. You understand what I'm saying? My brother, there ain't never been nobody made in the image of God as far as the flesh of the man except Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, I dispute that. Okay, then what did Jesus mean when he said you've never seen his image at any time? But what does the Bible mean when it said that Jesus Christ was the express? And the word express there is a given. The express image or his very likeness. Jesus was the express image of God. Is that right? Are you listening? Why don't you that don't want to hear get up and going home and let me talk to the rest of them. If there ain't but five of them, that's all right. We finished the sermon. If not, then get interested. So then, it is a true fact, according to the Bible, that the missing link could be none other than you people that have never been born again. That's exactly what it is. And when God put him on his belly, it meant that he would eat the dust of the earth, which is the food that comes up out of the ground. All of his labor is for his belly. Because he turned to the mind of the tree of knowledge, and today he is nothing more than a beast, and his carnal mind is the death from that tree of knowledge. To be carnally minded is death. And the only way to escape it is to turn to the tree of life, which was the mind of God in Jesus Christ, and which is in the sons of God. The only tree of life in the earth is Jesus Christ, and the members of that tree of life is the membership of his body. Is that right? If the theory of that is right, then why wasn't Adam in the transgression? It's hard to keep talking to you because you're going to sleep on me. Hard and fast asleep. Your spirit's just dwindling away. So then, it is a true fact that the missing link of the garden, though God likened it unto a serpent that crawls on his belly to give it a type, yet he also likened the seed of God to the same thing which was mankind to give it a type. If the serpent that crawls on his belly is actually the beast, then mankind is not a type. Mankind is actually the seed of God, and there's no need for the blood of Jesus Christ. But mankind is not the seed of God. For the Bible said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And to prove that God was talking about a type, he said from henceforth, he said, thy seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. Who was that seed? The seed of the woman. What woman? That was Mary. And it shall come to pass, the scripture said, that a woman shall compass a man. Somebody said that was the man's seed. Mary had never been married. That was the act of God. That was a divine act of God. The virginity of God. The woman was such a virtuous person that God purified her. What caused the birth? It was because the prophets way back there years ago said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. And because of that, those virgins that came on, some of them kept believing. And Mary kept believing in the Word. And the Word created the virtue. And the virtue by faith causes a divine conception in a virtuous body, just like it does today. And in so doing, the Son of God was born. And right there, it positively proves that he was the seed of the woman. Because the woman don't have seed. The seed of the woman. There was no other natural person in the world. That's the only place it could be traced back to. That's what God meant. And he, the seed of the woman, shall bruise the head of the serpent. Where did he do it? He done it at Calvary. When those thorns was placed on the head of Jesus, that was the Christ of God on the inside taking that body to Calvary and bruising the head for sin.
making an end. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He bruised the serpent. He bruised the head of the serpent. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you're a fanatic. You said that Adam was the head of the serpent. That's right. That's why he was called the second man, Adam. Because Adam was the head and it had to be bruised. He took it to Calvary to make an end of it. Then he come up as a new headship and start a new generation. You understand what I'm saying? Adam among the thorns, for his wife's sake, the church, laboring in the sweat of his brow as he hung there. And oh, this is about 10 times 10. We could say about that in present day revelation, what's happening today, if we just had a congregation and had the time. Let me tell you something, folks. The fact that Mary the Virgin brought forth a son proves that there's not a drop of a mother's blood in her baby. If one drop of Mary's blood had gone into Jesus, that would have annulled the divinity of God's plan, and the blood of Jesus could not have been called innocent blood. Because Mary was just like all the rest. There's none good, no, not Mary. Not one. You understand? But he is the only one. That proves it. Now, if that is true, and there's so many more things I'd like to say, but I'm just going to say a few things and then really close. If that is true, then if Cain married Abel's daughter, or Seth's daughter, she was only a field, only to reproduce. The blood life, for life is in the blood. To reproduce the blood life like Mother Nature does. And in the reproduction, it would have been the image of Cain. Never could it have intermingled and come out half and half, the image of Adam and the image of Cain. It could never have done it. Now, if that is the fact, then that means that the field has reproduced just exactly the seed that went in. Not one orange, not one apple, no nothing. Is that right? Why? Because there's no way that you can intermingle them. Is that right? There ain't no way. If it is vice versa, if the daughter of Cain married the son of Adam, in that they say that Cain's not in his lineage. If we had time, we'd go in there and understand those things. That means that every son that was born would be the image of Adam, or Abel, or Seth. If that is true, then that means that there is a generation of devils in the world that no blood atonement at Calvary could ever help. And it means that there's a generation of the sons of God, already sons of God, by the birth of Adam, that there was no need to send a blood atonement for. So the death of Jesus was in vain. Paul pointed that out to Peter. He said, if you Jews is going to take the outlook that you're the predestinated of God, it was the same thing that we're coping with today. It's the same thing that Paul withstood Peter over. He said, if you're going to say that you're the chosen of God and you're the elect of God and you're the generation of God just because you, God, says that he's your father through Abraham, he said, we might as well forget about the thing, said, because that makes the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect. He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, Peter. He said, you're a sinner just like everybody else, and I'm a sinner just like everybody else, and it takes the divine birth of Christ to change it. And I take the same stand, because the same Holy Ghost that spoke through Paul that day that withstood it speaks through Brother Pike today. We stand the same thing. It's the same thing. The blood of Christ. You had to be born again. You're born to the blood of Adam. You're born into sin. You've got to be born to the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the royal blood. Now, the mother's blood cannot go into the child, which means the church does not. It does not get any of the blood of the church. It gets it from God, and the church is the field. That's all it is, to reproduce the image of the Heavenly Father. Now, there's a few things that I'm not going to say anything about. Maybe I can drop in a little bit later in sermons to try to tie this in, hoping your mind will remember. But remember one thing, that if the teachings that they said are right, when the question was asked, how did it get over the flood? They said it was a woman. But the Bible shows that the time that elapsed on the journey was too long for there not to be a newcomer in the family. And it also shows the period of time after the flood was enough time and more than enough time to bring on a newcomer. Somebody would say, well, then what did Brother Branham mean when he was the one that said it got over by the flood? You understand what I'm saying? If Cain's seed, if that was the serpent seed and the son of the devil, where does the Bible speak of Cain's lineage going over on the ark when it said that it was Noah and his family, that there was no more that went over of Cain's seed and lineage? It would have become extinct. Because they didn't go over on the flood, that would have been the end of it. And you know the devil's still around. You know bastard children are still around. Somebody said, well, it would have been the woman. But how in the world could that be? Because the Bible says it was married to the sons of Noah, and his lineage goes back to Adam. They couldn't have reproduced the devil, not according to that theory. Are you listening? Well, it couldn't have been an illegitimate child, because the period of time on the ark proves that. Are you listening? I ain't said nothing dirty. The Bible speaks of the bastard child. Some people are so dirty-minded to be so tidy to hinder the things of God. They'll listen to slop and won't listen to the clean words of God. Go to doctors and everything else and act like a bunch of pigs. So you go to try to bring the word of God, and then they're just so-so. Nothing dirty. Your mind's just dirty. To the pure, all things are pure. I mean it pure, it should be received pure. Nothing abased but the way you're thinking. Man's thoughts are continually evil. I want to get to that anyway. On the flood, when man got ready to go over, there was no serpent seed. Unless that serpent seed went over through Noah, Noah's sons, and all the rest of the people that was on the ark. And that's exactly what happened. It didn't go over through no natural woman. Brother Branham said it went over through the woman, the spirit trying to express through Brother Branham what happened. The flesh is the woman. And the spirit spoke and told what happened. But the trumpet gave an uncertain sound, and they took off to the wrong side of it. So the voice that spoke was right, but the theory of man was wrong. Now, it went over. But the Bible said after that flood, though Noah was a holy man, though his family was there, it said that God looked down and saw that the thoughts of man's heart was continually evil from his youth up, and swore that he'd never destroy the earth again because of it. That he'd make a way to get into man's heart and clean him up. So then the same devil was there after the flood as there before the flood. And that same devil come right down through Adam, right down through Noah, and right down through those sons of Noah and the wives of Noah. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, what it is, don't you understand? It was them women folk. They had done married Cain's daughter. No, that couldn't be. Because there's not a drop of the blood of the daddy in the mother or in the child. That couldn't be. So somebody said, well, I believe it anyway. Okay, let's believe it anyway and see what happens. After the flood, so then here's the daughter that's married. That's a daughter of Cain married to a son of God. So then what is the reproduction? It's the son of God. Somebody said, but I still believe. Okay, let's say that you believe. If it had been a son of Cain, it would have been the end of it right there. Still couldn't have reproduced because there's no mixture. Still couldn't have reproduced. But folks, that just shows you a big wilderness that you'll wander around in until you go crazy. Because it ain't so. I challenge any man in the world to prove it. Somebody said, oh, what if Brother Branham be alive? I tried my best to get to Brother Branham, and that's why the Spirit of God through Brother Branham said, your father is out here in this audience wanting to see me about something. Said he's got a question he wants to ask me. The Spirit of God was concerned about it. That wasn't Brother Branham speaking. That was God speaking. Because God was concerned about it. I did have a question. Why did God bother to tell Brother Branham that I had a question about that? Somebody said, well, it's just, no, there's thousands of people that's got a question about that. There was more to it than that. Because God knew that my question was going to be answered if I had to go to God to get the answer. That's right. And I did. So then I'm saying one thing. There's a lot of things I'd like to say, you're dull of hearing. But I'm saying one thing, is that that went over through the ark, all of this other is a wilderness. But when you remember what Paul said, there's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit, then you know where the devil was. It's like the Bible said, within your flesh, it's you that caused the trouble. Not something crawling on his belly out here, it's people that's causing it. It's in your flesh. Somebody said, well, I'm a child of God. That don't make no difference. That body's still unredeemed. It's still you that's causing the trouble. And you are causing yourself more trouble than anybody else. If you'll mortify the old serpent part of you, the old devilish part of you, put him down in the ground, let him be dead, let him be smote at Calvary back yonder, as that man that was made a serpent being lifted up in the wilderness as a serpent to make an end of the thing. There, if you'll realize that God said, you worm Jacob liken you to the serpent too, kill that part, put it in the grave, mortify the deeds of the body, abstain from that fleshly desire, walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, you'll be all right. Because if you don't, you're a two-headed freak. Because that trouble started in the woman, and that woman part is your flesh. And that woman part is still guilty, but the Adam on the inside is not in the transgression because he's born of God. And because that woman is in the transgression, that body's got to come under subjection to that man, which is Christ within you, the hope of glory. And if it doesn't, then it's a prostitute. And if you give into it, then you are a whoremonger. For he that be joined to that is the same, the Bible said, one body. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of other things I'd like to say, speaking of wild by nature and how it was grafted in. That'll stop another one of your theories. You're not smart enough, Satan, to go around that way. You just think you are. I just wish we had a time to go into it. Not smart enough to go by the lineage and say, well, the Bible said the son of the son of the son of the son of, where's Adam? Or where is Abel, or Cain, rather? Where is he at? If he's not in the lineage, he's not the son of Adam. This is why I stop. When we get along like this, when you stop drawing, then I just, everything gets fuzzy and foggy. And I'm not able to follow the mind of Christ thoroughly. And I said words here and there, and then I have to stumble to stagger to get everything in. But I say, no, he's not in the lineage. That's very easy to answer. Very easy. The Spirit of God can answer it without any trouble. If you had time, we'd tell you what it is, because he's done told us. But anyway, there's no way. It's a high you can't go over it. It's a low you can't go in it. It's a wide you can't go around it. And Jesus said, if you come in any other way except by the door, you're a thief and a robber. So then you say, well, Brother Pike, what does that mean in all this thing you're saying? I mean that the things that they're teaching about the serpent seed, God allowed that to give an uncertain sound that them followers would go off just like the Jew. Justify the head, which was Brother Branham, like he did Jesus. Let the others wander in a wilderness to carry out the type of the lineage of the serpent, which is the man part, the worm Jacob, following after the man, Brother Branham, instead of after the Holy Spirit, which was on the inside. Somebody said, but wait a minute, Brother Pike. Don't you know you said that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? I sure did. And I remember every bit of that. But the Bible said at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. There is a difference, my brother. You understand what I'm saying? So then, God said to Joshua, said, my servant Moses is dead. Tell the people that it's dead. Why is he dead? Somebody said he lived his time out. That wasn't what the Bible said. It went ill with him for the sake of the people. He had done got so great, so powerful, God had made Moses God to the people. And because he'd made him God to the people, then the people took him as an absolute instead of what God said. So God had to do away with him. Move on, change his mask, and come in another form. He's always done that. He always will do that. Because he's Christ, the hope of glory within us. Not only has he moved on in another form in the ministry, as far as Brother Branham and Elijah and Paul and the others as his ministry in the land, but he's moved on as Christ, the membership of his body. Whether it's 30, 60, or 100, whether it's just a little bit of the Spirit, as some would say, whatever your measure is, it has moved out of the man that went yonder in the grave, and the measure has moved on to you for the move of God today. Somebody say, you mean he took that man's measure away? He certainly did not. He certainly did not. That man kept his measure, but how many of you know there's plenty of God? He fills heaven, earth, and sea, and sky. Got plenty of measures. He moves on. And so then the measure that's inactive, as far as that body being dead today, that lies there still. But the measure that is active, that is in you, the living, is here today. So his body is still in the earth today, moving right on. According to your measure. All right, I want you to stand with me. I really feel like we ought to went on another 30 or 40 minutes anyway. But the things died down to where when you start going to sleep, the inspiration that God wants you to have, you can't feel it. You're just hearing words because you're drowsy. And you miss the Spirit and the inspiration. So you really don't get it because it. You can't get it unless it's quickened to you. It's the quickening that brings the life. The seed without the quickening is dead. It has to have the quickening. Other words, there's no life. To sterilize is to do away with germs. But to do away with germs can also be the means of doing away with the life. How do you know that? A lot of ministers, that's the way they are. There's no inspiration. There's no anointing. There's no God. There's no real life. They preach the blood, but there's no life preached in it. There's no quickening, no inspiration. You say, how do you know that, Brother Pike? I know that by the fact that the Lord's Supper, they use grape juice instead of wine. Grape juice don't have no strength in it. It don't have no quickening to it. It takes wine. That's why the little group that's using wine is typical of the minister that's got the quickening in the blood, the life, the Spirit. Have you understand what I'm saying? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I still feel like we're stopping almost in the middle of the sermon. I do that about every time I get up here. I appreciate Brother Branham's followers in the early stages of his ministry when the quickening was there with him. They'd stay till noon. He'd dismiss them. They'd come back early, and some of them would never leave and stay right there until over in the evening. Somebody would say, well, that was Brother Branham. I know it. I know it. I know it. That was Brother Branham. Back there in the days of Elijah, that was Brother Elijah. But today it's Brother Jesus. I'm interested in Brother Jesus. Who are you interested in? The Bible said not be him that speak, but it would be God. So then, I appreciate those that could listen. I get weary a lot of times with some of my brethren. They'll come around and sit around, and I can talk to them for 5 solid hours. They'll sit there, hungry, fighting and struggling to get it. I can come to church. And they won't fight and struggle. They won't do nothing. They'll listen to what they want to listen at. And most of the time I've done told them somewhere else anyway. A lot of the things that I say. And because of that, they've already got it anyway. So they have no interest and the rest of the people get robbed. God gets disgusted with you, brethren, when you do that. That's right. You say, well, I don't believe it. But he said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? We didn't even get to finish our thoughts. He said, well, you're taking too long. Who's the authority that said how long you're supposed to take to preach a sermon? I mean, who is he? I'd like to meet him and talk with him. I don't find no certain time in the Bible. I never met anybody that God put in the earth as an authority to say take 10 minutes or 10 days. If it's God speaking, he's supposed to be able to get through. That's the only thing I know. And I can tell when he's through.
Even Jesus said to the apostles, after preaching to them for hours, he said, there's many things I'd like to say to you, but you're dull of hearing. So he just gone off by himself and spent a night with God. That's right. I made a statement yesterday. Men going through the land fasting 40 and 30 days, and they feel like that they really got it. You know, they feel like they just turned the world upside down. Like a bunch of babies playing. I made a statement yesterday. That wasn't what caused Jesus to return in the power of the Spirit. Numbers of people have done that and didn't return in the power of the Spirit. That wasn't it. You say, then what was it, Brother Pye? It's like I told the brethren. He stayed out there and prayed day and night for 40 days and nights. He prayed and agonized before God. They say it was like a place where beasts had wallowed, where he wrestled with the devil till he defeated him. That's what caused him to come back in the power of the Spirit. Not just doing without food 40 days. He didn't even go out there for that purpose of fasting. The Bible said the Spirit drove them into the wilderness. He went out there to seek God. And in those days, he did eat nothing. Not because he was fasting, but because he was seeking God. He didn't have time to eat. If that took that for him to have the power of the Spirit, folks, I'm wondering what's going to happen to you and me with our 15-minute popcorn sermons and sermonettes, our half-hearted living, and our everyday resentment and fault-finding. I wonder how in the world we expect to make it in. Many shall try. They won't be able to go in. Do your diligence to keep your heart. Out of it comes forth the issues of life. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? All right, let's sing the little chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Say, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art called, not pass me by. Hallelujah. Tonight, unless the Lord leads different, I may pick up a few thoughts to them that will be here on this subject and try to clarify a few other things that will be in your mind that Satan will use to probe at you with, or somebody else will throw them across your path unless they're explained tonight. Sing that chorus again. Oh, Savior,